Welcome to the Ignite Church podcast. Thanks for checking us out. We pray that this message will bring you hope and ignite your faith. Now lean in and enjoy the message.
We are starting a new series today.
Yes, we are.
It's called You,
Me,
and Us. And it's going to be a fun series. It's going to be a conversational series. So if you notice here, my wife and I are going to be the first ones. Every week, we're going to have someone different and a different life story. So our encouragement is that through our pain and through the things that we went through and how God used us in certain ways or used things in our lives in certain ways, that it will bless you. Amen. Amen. So wherever you're watching today, we encourage you for next week, not this week, we didn't plan it, but for next week, we're going to be interviewing someone that is dear to my heart. It's my mom. So my mom is going to be up here with me. It's going to be powerful. But I encourage you, if you have any questions or prayer requests, if you have questions or prayer requests, please submit them online via Facebook or Instagram, wherever it is, and we will definitely be sharing and praying, right? Yeah. So one of the things that we want to do as, you know, church is different now. Yeah. Everything is different now, right? We want to make sure that you don't ever feel like you could never ask for help or you could never ask for prayer because you can't be there physically. So we want to make sure that we create every possible environment so people could connect and communicate with us. So, you ready?
Yes.
All right. Give it up for my beautiful wife. So this morning, like I said, we're starting this new series, which is called You, Me, Us. And it really came about from a TV show that we were watching when the whole pandemic started, right? How many of you have been watching a little bit more TV now than you've ever watched in your life? Anybody here, right? You're watching. My mom's like, yeah, me, right? And we started watching the series, which is called This Is Us. And it's a nice series on TV, and it talks about the life of brothers, right? They're three brothers and sisters. And it starts talking, and I'm like, when we were talking about it, I'm like, man, it'll be a great idea to use kind of the similar idea to create a series, but talk about the struggles and victories that we have had in life. Yeah. How many of you, God speaks more when you've seen it done in someone else's life, right? Like a testimony, like it speaks to you, right? Sometimes when you're hearing someone preach, it probably doesn't, hit you so much because you're like, well, they don't know what I've been through.
Right.
Well, they've never been in my shoes. Right? And I understand, you know, as a preacher, I understand that every Sunday morning when I stand up here to preach, I need to make sure that the message that I bring, you know, first of all, is from God. And second of all, it's people could relate to, right? Because it doesn't do us any good to preach something that people can't relate to. But I think a lot of people could relate more to life stories.
Yeah.
If you look in the Bible, Jesus always used stories so that people could relate to the truth that he's trying to convey. And they were called parables. Right? Today, we call them testimony because it's the victory through a test. You can't have a testimony without first having a test or a trial. So this morning, we're going to be sharing. My wife and I are going to be talking, and we pray that what we've been through and what we're facing today will encourage you as we have been walking with Christ. So we're going to kick it off by talking a little bit. You might be saying, well, how did you guys get to know each other? Like, how did, you know, you come into being a relationship as a couple? I'll let you start that one off.
You tell it way better than I do. Eric is more the, when he tells our story, it sounds so beautifully. I just cut to the point, but he elaborates on it. So I'll try and give you what the short version, I guess, but you could come in and help. Eric and I met, I was possibly about 12 years old and 13, and he was 13. We met at church, and I remember the first time I saw Eric, my cousin Damaris, Eric was very, like, high and energetic, into worship.
Make fun of me, right?
Into worship, and she's like, who is that guy? He was wearing some, like, overall.
Who's that hot dude over there?
No, she didn't say that. She says, who is that guy? He looks like a farmer boy.
Gee, thanks. Farmers.com. No, I'm just kidding.
I remember that was the first, like, time I ever, like, noticed Eric. And from there, a beautiful friendship, I guess, developed over the years. And we began to serve together in ministry. And we became very close friends. We did missions together. We did youth group together. Everything you could think of. Eric was...
I used to brush my teeth on the phone with you together.
I'm like, what is this guy doing brushing his teeth? He's like, give me a minute. He would put his phone down and you would hear the water. I'm like, okay. But in other words, we just had a really beautiful friendship. Somewhere along the line, I started to develop like feelings for Eric. I noticed that I saw him in a different light, not only as a friend, but as something more. And so after a while...
Okay, wait. Well, you got to let them know because I'm waiting for my kids to be older so I could tell them how their mom fell in love with their dad, right? You got to let them know where you... realized. That you had feelings for me, because this is creepy, people. This is a creepy one.
Right? Eric had been invited by our youth pastor. He had moved to Washington, D.C., and he had invited Eric to go minister at his church. And I remember Eric invited a bunch of us to go along with him. And so we were doing some sightseeing, obviously. We were at the... what memorial is that?
The Holocaust Memorial.
Oh, yes, the Holocaust Memorial. And I remember there, if you've been to Washington and you've been to the memorial, there's this section where it's just like a ton of shoes, and you'll see all the Jews' shoes that were like left behind. And
From the concentration camps,
and it's just a ton of shoes. And I remember feeling so sad at that moment, and I was like having a moment, and I started to tear up, and I looked around, and I'm like, where's Eric? I felt like that moment I wanted to share with him. I wanted to share the good and the bad. And that's where it hit me.
You fell in love with me. You realized you were in love with me among the dead people,
yes.
Right? Among the things that reminded you of people that suffered and died.
Basically.
Gee, thanks. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
And I'll let you talk a little more about the rest of the story.
So my wife now, back then, was my best friend, Anai, and she shared with me after that trip that she had feelings for me. And, you know, I didn't have feelings for her like that. I saw her, I told her literally like this, I saw her as my sister.
Yes,
he did say that. And that was like throwing, you know, a cold bath on someone, right, that was in love. And I honestly didn't do it to hurt her. I did it, in my opinion, to protect her. Versus her continuing to believe that there might be something in the future, I said, you know what, let me just tell her really how I see her. I see her as my sister. And so what was a strong best friendship, right, and doing things together and having mutual friends together just broke.
Yeah.
I remember I told her, I'm like, I think it'll be best that we don't talk. And that if we come across each other, because we went to church together, we did ministry together, you know, it's hard not to see each other.
Yeah.
That if we came across one another, we'll be high and by, but that we would not call each other. We wouldn't, I don't even know if texting was back then available. I think it wasn't. It was weird. Whatever. We wouldn't call each other, and we just wouldn't communicate. And we went on for almost a whole entire year.
And he decides to tell me this right before I have to lead worship, mind you. Nonetheless.
Sorry. That's when you know you love Jesus, right? That's when you know you love Jesus.
Yeah.
And I remember, and we went on, it was hard. It was hard because we did life together practically every single day, you know. And we went from calling each other, speaking to each other multiple times a day to not speaking at all. It was like immediate cut. And I think, a lot of things happened during that time. A lot of things that my wife could attest to that we believe that God was involved in that.
Yeah.
Because today we look back and we're thankful for that period of time that we didn't talk to each other. Because what happened was that while we were very close friends and she had feelings for me and I didn't have feelings for her, we depended on one another. We looked for each other's validation.
Yeah.
We leaned on one another instead of leaning on God, instead of knowing that our validation doesn't come from a human, it comes from God. And so what happened is when we had that moment of we didn't talk to each other, that year span that we didn't talk to each other, we found that we needed to rely more on God. We needed to lean more on God. And that's where God started ministering our identity to us.
Yeah.
That it wasn't what Anai thought of me or what I thought of her. It was what God thought of us and what God said of us. So today, our relationship, our marriage, we thank God for that period of time that was broken, right? Because it helped us. So when it was God's timing, right? She says, we should have gotten together and had children earlier and not at this old age. Well, I don't think it was God's timing, right? My mother-in-law always tells me, why did you have kids so late? Why didn't you have them younger? I'm like, well, it wasn't God's timing, right? So, and we thank God for that period because during that we grew and we learned from one another and we learned from God, and it helps us today in our relationship.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, so I just believe that that time was very important for us. When we got back together as friends, we still kept our distances and our boundaries to kind of not fall back into that. Mm-hmm. But God had a better plan. You know, God was working behind the scenes. She had not lost, she kind of had lost hope, right? Yeah. You lost hope, right?
I never thought it would happen.
But little by little, God started working in my heart and started showing me how much I was in love with her, but I was blind to see. You know, and little by little, and you know,
it
I preached.
Years.
It took years. It wasn't just a. It wasn't.
It was long and suffering, my brother. It was 10 years in the making.
Sorry, I was trying to make it short. The short cut.
I had to just throw that in there.
10 years, wow! But now it feels like it never happened, right?
Yeah.
Right. No, but. It was a very important time in our lives, right? And when we finally got together, right, in the year 2014, I asked her to be my girlfriend. It was a May 23rd, was it?
Yes.
May 23rd, 2014. It was a beautiful morning, right?
It was.
We saw the sunrise come up, and she didn't know I was going to ask her to be my girlfriend. You would think it would be like proposing marriage, but... It was to ask her if she wanted to start a new beginning with me. And we started. You know, we were excited. We were in love with one another. Our family got ecstatic. Our friends got ecstatic because they had been waiting for this day for 10 years.
Yeah.
And little by little, God started working with us and working through us. In November, right? November 22nd. I always forget that date, but it's an important date. November.
We have a lot of November.
We have a lot of dates in November. Yeah. Our children were born in November. We got married in November. A lot of things happened in November. But November 22nd, 2014, I proposed to Anai, my bride, to be my wife, right?
Finally.
So we thought, man, it's a new beginning. Things are going. They're working out towards us. Everything's working out. Well, little did we know that a couple days later, my dad will be in the hospital with a stroke. He had a stroke on December 12, 2014. 14. Was the last day I heard my dad speak. It was the last time I ever heard his voice. Yeah. And that was hard. It was hard for us because here we are, a new couple, even though we weren't a new couple per se, right? We've known each other for many years, but now's when we're developing our... getting to know each other in the level of a boyfriend and girlfriend, not just friends, but boyfriend and girlfriend, our families. So here's this huge thing that just comes, boom.
Out of nowhere, yeah.
Out of nowhere, right? And those of you that don't know the story of my dad, and my dad was in the hospital for many weeks. It was a short period of time. But a lot of things happened during that time, right? Yeah. God drew us closer to one another, drew us closer to our family, made us realize that there were real people that surrounded us that definitely did love us.
Yeah.
Because how many of you know that it's in the hard times that you really testify who is really for you and not just there when everything is good? And it was in the hard time that we saw people really come out of the blue that we had not even seen show their love, and God used them in our lives. My dad was diagnosed with adenocarcinoma, right? Lung cancer. He didn't know it was a stroke. He couldn't speak. He spoke through his eyes, basically, right? Through his facial expressions. And during that time, it was very, very tough. Really, really, really tough. Hard for my family. Hard for us. I remember I spent a lot of nights in the hospital sleeping. We will alternate between family members, but I spent a lot of nights with my dad by his side throughout the whole entire time. But there was one verse, I remember it was my brother. My brother wrote in, I think it was, I don't even know what he wrote it on.
It was like paper.
Like a napkin. You know, like the ones that you wash your hands with?
Yes.
From the hospital? He wrote in Spanish, right in front of my dad, like where my dad would, because my dad's bed was right by the sink of the the hospital room. And it said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah.
In Spanish, for my dad to see that every single day.
Yeah.
And we had hopes. You know, we were encouraged that something was going to happen. A miracle was going to happen. He was going to get up. He was going to talk again. He was going to walk. He was going to be able to fight cancer. But God had bigger and better plans.
Well, in my experience, Eric had hope, and I had faith as well that God was going to heal him. But I had a more realistic approach to it. I had been through something very similar in my life. My grandfather, who was very special to me, he was everything to me. I always looked up to my grandfather. He had cancer of the esophagus years before, and I had been through this process already. And even though he went to be home with the Lord, it was a very painful time. And I knew the reality of it, that it's possible that he can also go home with the Lord. So I struggled a lot during that time to be there for Eric, but and not to be a stumbling stone to his faith as well. So my role in it was more like a supportive and prayerful role through the whole situation. And I remember there was this one song one day that I was feeling very down and out of hope, if I'm honest. It's called Everlasting God, and I'll share a few lyrics with you. It says, so the chorus of the song says, I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. And I was thankful to God in that moment for that song, because I was thankful because I said, God, regardless of what happens, regardless if he stays with us and you heal him, because you have the power to heal him, regardless if he goes home to be home with you, because that is your will, I will remain confident in this, God, that even though whatever happens, happens, I will remain confident in this. I will see your goodness. We will see your goodness.
I remember that when God gave us that song, we would sing it. We would play it over and over on our drive to the hospital. We would just let that song just linger in our hearts. I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
And sometimes you just need to be reminded of that, that you will see the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
Romans 8 says God will turn everything. He will use all things work out together for the good, for those who love him and are called to his purpose. But when you're facing a loved one in the hospital, when you're facing a situation of a breakup in a relationship, when you're going through a hard time in whatever it is that you are facing, the last thing you remember is that you will see the goodness of the Lord. Because what is the first thing that we ask as humans? What good could come out of this?
Yeah.
What good could come out of this? Because it's all negative.
Yeah.
Even today in the pandemic, what good could come out of this? But little do we know that our God,
amen,
is not limited to our goodness.
Yeah.
He's not limited to what we consider to be good or bad or possible or impossible. He is the God of the impossible.
Yes.
He is the good God that we will see his goodness. I remember that one day, I remember this as just yesterday. Because you see, God will send people to remind you that he is good. To kind of give you that extra boost that you need.
Mm-hmm.
To just remind you, to help you stay in faith. Because as long as you remain in faith, miracles will still happen. Signs will occur. Wonders will be seen. He just needs us to remain in faith. He doesn't need us to have a lot of faith. He just needs us to have some faith. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, some faith.
Some
All
faith.
You need is some faith. I remember I was, my wife remembers this. I remember as it was yesterday, I was in the hospital one, I think it was like a Thursday. I was in the Thursday afternoon in the hospital with my dad because I would work from the hospital and everything. And I get a phone call. A weird number popped up, and I usually answer weird numbers. People don't, but I answer weird numbers because my phone is a company phone, so I just answer it just in case it's a customer. And I said, yes, this is Eric speaking, and I hear a voice on the other side. It says, is this Eric Abreu? And I'm like, yes, how can I help you? And he says, my name is Pastor So-and-so, a pastor known here in the city, a renowned known pastor in our city. Mind you, I don't know who, I've never met this pastor. I know about this pastor. I know his ministry, but I've never met him. And he says, someone gave me your number. This is a pastor of a big church and everything. Someone gave me your number because they said that you're facing a hardship. And I just wanted to take a couple minutes, if you had a couple minutes of your time, just to pray for you and your family and encourage you. That alone was all I needed that day. To know that God will send someone. Let me tell you something. Many times we miss out on God speaking to us because we think it's going to come a certain way, a certain form, and at a certain time. But God will show up in ways that we don't even know. The Bible says that we have entertained angels as strangers and we have not even known, right? So God will send someone to just breathe life. And I remember he said, I'm praying for you and your family. And he prayed for me there. And that alone blessed me. So God will send help whenever you think that there is no help. But how my wife was saying about that song, I remember that during that hard time, there's this song that God ministered to me. How many times does God use a song to speak to you? You might be facing something and you hear a song and it's the lyric, you know, it just ministers to you. Or probably you're facing something that you faced before and that song just comes back again, kind of like that extra reminder, you know. And I remember that Bethel Music had come out with a song in 2014 called Brave, right? And the chorus of the song says, 'cause you make me brave. You make me brave. You call me out beyond the shore into the waves. You make me brave. No fear can hinder now the love that made a way. And that song just helped me through the whole entire process. Let me tell you why, you know, you might say, well, your dad passed away. Why are you, you know, with a positive attitude? You should probably be questioning God. I did question God. I did. I did have my moments with God.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you heal him? I preach about healing. I've seen you heal people from cancer. I've seen you lift up people that were in crutches. I've seen you do miracles. Why didn't you heal him? And even though I question God, God will always remind me about the greatest miracle. See, we prayed 20-something years to see my dad come to know Jesus. You might say, well, he came to know Jesus when he was on a deathbed. No. This is how our God works. I'm not saying that he can't do that. But this is the joy that I have today. 3 days before my dad had a stroke, he willingly gave his life to Jesus Christ. And that's why I share my dad's story. And why do I share what we went through? Because when it all seemed impossible, when it all seemed like there's no way out, God showed us that he is still in the midst of the storm.
Amen. Yes.
And even though my dad's not here today, and he never met his grandchildren, right, which he would have probably been super crazy over, right, the joy I have today and the peace I have today is that one day I will see him. So, my dad went to be with the Lord in January 2015. Mind you, we were engaged already, so we started planning for our wedding. It was a tough time, you know, because even though we had the joy about getting married, I would think, my dad's not going to be at my wedding, you know. It's not going to be the same. He's not going to see, you know, his youngest finally get married, etc. But we kept on. We kept on moving forward. We were excited about a new beginning, a new start. We were getting married. We got married in November, right? We got married in November. November is the big month for everything. And we had a great time. And it was one of, you know, to me, it was one of my, I always tell my wife, Our wedding has been the best wedding I've ever been to, not because it was my wedding, but just because it was beautiful. But let me tell you something.
Yeah.
My wife wanted a simple wedding.
Yeah.
For a woman, that's weird, right? A simple wedding. She just wanted, all she told me is, all I want to do is get married in an actual church.
Yeah.
Not in a banquet hall, even though that's fine.
Yeah.
But her desire was, I wanted to get married in a church. And I'm like, okay, I'll give you your church, but I want my party. And I want a good party, too. I want something, you know, grand. If you know me, I love grand. There's nothing wrong with that. So we started planning our wedding, and I was living by myself in my own apartment. I got rid of my apartment. I moved back in with my mom so I could spend time with her and be with her during the time of the mourning of my dad. And also at the same time, save some money for our wedding.
Yeah, I got a new job.
She got a new job. And we started just saving. And we trusted God. God, you're going to provide. You're going to provide. Let me tell you something. God provided.
Yes, amen.
We had a beautiful wedding. Beautiful wedding. Zero debt. We walked away from our wedding night without owing one penny to anyone. Yeah. But it gets better.
You're going to tell the honeymoon story? So we honeymooned in Cancun.
Woo woo.
For those of you who like Mexico, it was a very nice time. And we went to our honeymoon basically in faith because, yes, our wedding was $0, but we didn't have money to pay for our honeymoon. And I remember that night we got multiple gifts and we counted and we said, well, it's not enough, but okay. When we got to Mexico, Eric put we took money with us. But he puts the money in the safe and we just said, okay, God. Show up and show off like you always do. You'll make a way where there's no way. And we enjoyed our full week. And at the end of the trip, I remember as we're checking out, of course, we incurred also a lot of other stuff that
expenses
that we had during the week. And the lady gives us the amount. And we're
it
like,
it was a big amount.
Yeah. So she gives us
I've never paid that much money on vacation.
She gives us the amount. I think we even had put it on your.
I put it on my corporate card.
On his corporate card in faith. We're like, whatever, okay.
I hope people aren't watching that. No, I don't work for that company anymore.
So we prayed. We had prayed and trusted God. And I kid you not, Eric started counting the money in front of that lady. One by one, and I was just like, oh my God, we're not gonna.
The lady was like this.
She was like, wow.
Why so much money?
Why so much?
How do you have so much cash on you?
She was looking at us weird. I kid you not. By the time Eric reached the last bill, God intervened in such a way we had the exact same amount that the lady had requested for us, and we walked away as well from our honeymoon. Zero debt.
Zero debt.
Yes. It didn't, praise God.
It didn't go on the company corporate.
It did not go on the
corporate. Why do we share this? Yes. Why do we share this? Well, because we understood early on, many years ago, you know, we were raised in the same church. Yeah. And we were taught since small to honor God. Amen. Honor God with our giving.
With everything.
With everything. Trust Him with everything. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this. It says, try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. It says, that I will open, it says, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Why do we share this with you? Well, we went to our honeymoon in faith, right? People gave us gifts. We counted the honeymoon night, our wedding night, right? We're like, well, I guess whatever is balanced, we'll have to find how somehow to pay it, right? So that's why I put my corporate card. And that week, we got money from there. We put it in the safe, but we kept on getting money from there because we had to give tip, or if we went out to buy souvenirs or whatever, we just kept on getting money from there, right? So we're like, at the end of the trip, I told her, I did tell her this, don't worry. Yeah. We're not going to live on a budget on our honeymoon. We're going to enjoy our honeymoon. God will provide somehow. You waited 10 years, girl. We're going to enjoy this, okay? We ain't going to be like we're going to McDonald's on our honeymoon. No, we ain't doing that. We're going to eat in nice restaurants. We're going to enjoy our honeymoon. And I remember that that morning when we go to checkout, you know, they print out all your things, you know, everything. And the lady's like, okay, this is your balance. And it was a big number. It was a big number. And I'm like, I knew what we had on that wedding night. And I looked at that number. And I'm like, okay, here goes anything. And I start counting, you know, one by one in front of the lady, one by one, boom. American dollars, not Mexicans, one by one, boom, boom, boom. And the lady's reaction was like, wow, I've never seen so much cash given to me to pay in cash. No one has really paid in cash this amount of money. And we paid every single amount, everything, right there to the last penny. God is a provider, even when you think that there's no way that he will provide. Just continue. The key there is continue being faithful. Continue trusting him. Continue having the faith and moving forward in faith. So we got married, right? But there was a problem. There was a little problem that was a big problem that we forgot to say. Before we got married, you know, 3 weeks before we got married, we still didn't have anywhere to live. We didn't have anywhere to live. I remember that we started looking. We went on Craigslist. Yeah. We started looking. And I found this apartment. I told her, oh, my God, I found this apartment in Brickell. It's beautiful. We're going to have the Brickell-style life, right? It's within our budget, right? Yeah. And because we had given a down for a house, but it wasn't going to be ready by the time we came back from our honeymoon. You know, it wasn't going to be ready at all. So then I was about to, I contacted the person. The person sent me an email back, told me, okay, you have to wire the money here. And a coworker of mine says, are you sure that's legit? I'm like, yeah, the person sent me everything. Look, look. And she tells me, my coworker Stephanie tells me, why don't you Google that email address? And I'm like, why? She says, do it, just in case it's a scam. So I Googled the email address. Boom, it was a scam.
Yeah.
God saved us from that. But he saved us from that, but we still didn't have anywhere to live. And we're like, what are we going to do? I mean, yes, we could live with our parents. You know, they offered their homes, but we didn't want to. We believe that if you have the opportunity to live on your own as a young married couple, do it. Yeah. It's going to bless you in the long run, right? But we that's what we wanted. And so we remember that we prayed, God, you provided till now. You're going to open the right doors. You're going to do something. And that same week when we prayed, my mom reached out to a family friend, right? And the person has properties, but normally that property he wouldn't rent it. It was within an efficiency within his house. He wouldn't rent it to people. It was his own. And he decided to rent it to us. God provided. Amen. We had our own little efficiency. We could tell you a lot of stories of our efficiency that are funny, but we loved our efficiency days, right? Yeah. We were there practically for almost a year, mm-hmm. right? And we were excited. We were living the newlywed life. We were doing a lot of things. We had gone to New York together, and boom, we find out that Anaya is pregnant.
I'm pregnant, yes. Our first baby.
Our first baby, Liam Abreu, right?
Liam.
And mind you, our house wasn't ready.
No.
We were still in efficiency. And you just kept on growing, girl. And I'm like, we don't fit in this efficiency.
I ate everything I wanted. It was a great pregnancy. So that was around September. God opened the doors again, and we were finally able to close on the property where we had given our down payment on, and we were able to move before Liam was born and get everything accommodated for him, and he provided and showed up again as well. And so we go into to November again, and Liam was born November 23rd. Like I mentioned, I had had a great, great pregnancy. Nothing had gone wrong. And we walked in there in peace. I really did. We prayed with our family. I remember I walked in peace. And then what we thought was going to be just something
I was wearing my number one dad shirt. I was super excited.
You were. We walked into something that was supposed to be like the best day of our lives, aside from giving your life to Christ and getting married and all that. And it turned out to be a little bit more complicated than what we expected. I was 14 hours, probably, in labor, and it was very complicated. We won't get into the details of the negligence of the doctors and all that great stuff, but Liam is finally born. We were in the hospital 6 a.m. He finally arrives at 10:32 p.m., And the minute I carry my baby boy, the same minute the nurse looks at me and says, he's in respiratory distress, yanks him from my hands, and I didn't see my baby boy for hours after that. And Eric could probably come in and talk about that experience as well.
I was so exhausted at our firstborn's delivery.
Yeah.
I remember the nurses would say, push! And here I am pushing together with my wife. Ooh! You know, push! And it was a horrible timing that day.
Yeah.
And more horribly, when they grab our son and I have to rush to the NICU with our son. I don't know. I don't know what it means to be a dad. It's my first day on the job. And the first day on the job, they give me this, you know, crazy assignment. You know, they start plugging him to different things. They start checking this, checking that. He was kind of bluish or purplish. And it's, instead of breathing normal, like we breathe, that we see our lungs, you know, contract in and out, he was, part of his body was breathing through here. And I was like, I didn't even know that was possible. And all this time, I'm praying and just declaring, everything's going to be okay, Liam. God is with you, Liam. God is covering you. I cover you with the blood of Jesus. But you know that sometimes we declare things, but we don't believe them?
Yep.
Because it's the mechanism that we've been taught. You just declare, 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 pray, pray, pray. But sometimes we don't even believe in what we're praying. And here I am trying to keep the most positive attitude because I don't even know where my wife is. I'm here with my son in the NICU. I haven't seen my wife. I saw her briefly when they took us, you know, they split us apart. I haven't spoken to her. I know that she suffered a lot during pregnancy, right? During childbirth. And I'm here like, I'm like, what's next? What do we do? So then they finally come and tell us, oh, your son has a type of strep B, which is a bacteria that he encountered in the birth canal because he was there for too long within the birth canal. And so we have to keep him here for
11 days.
He has to stay here 11 days. We have to inject, put an IV on him with antibiotic, and he has to stay under this light and a bunch of things.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of things. So imagine, we were excited. We got married. We thought all the pain was gone with, you know. We went to our honeymoon. We saw God move. We found out we were going to be parents. It was the happiest day. Boom.
Here we go again.
We're back in November in the hospital.
Yeah.
A year from when it all started.
Yeah.
And so there again, we start trusting God. It was hard. What was the hardest thing for you during that time?
Well, the hardest thing is like they not being able to do anything for my son. So I felt like God gives me a blessing and yet I can't do anything about it. I was barely able even to sit. I couldn't hold him because he had so many things on him. And it was just a period in my life where, again, I find myself questioning, why God, why this, why again, why us?
Yeah. It was a hard time. It really was. I remember one night I was in the NICU by myself. I stayed the majority of the nights with my son. My brother and my mother-in-law helped us, you know, some nights, but I remember staying in there in the room. I remember that his room, you would turn off the lights and there was like these little stars, right? And it was funny because there was this TV channel. He loved, ever since, not thinking about it, ever since Liam was born, he's loved worship.
Yeah.
He's loved worship. And there was a TV channel, you know, TV channel that put sceneries of the forest,
rivers.
Of rivers and stuff like that with little melodies. And there was one that would come out with Christian melodies. And I remember I would turn it on, and that would help him calm down. Because sometimes he'll start crying and crying and crying. And that actually will help him calm down. And I remember that one night I was so tired. I was there. I was questioning God. I was praying. I was exhausted, you know, because it was just the motions. You know, in the morning I would go see my wife for a little while. We'll come to the hospital so she could see Liam for a little bit because she couldn't stand many hours sitting down, right? We'll take her back. Then I'll come back and stay to sleep that night with him, with the in and out. You know, if you've ever been in a hospital or stayed with someone in the hospital, hospitals are not hotels, okay? They're not hotels. They are the most inconvenient, uncomfortable places you could ever be. Whoever invents furniture for hospitals should go to hell. No, I'm playing. They should really accept Jesus and start redesigning them to be more comfortable. And I remember sleeping in that chair, right, with the lovely nurses that would find me a chair, you know, yes. Amazing nurses at the NICU. I remember that night, I was just so tired. Have you ever come, has there been a point in your life that you just give up? You're like, God, I'm tired. It's been X amount of days. When is this going to end? How is this going to end? And what does it look like once it ends? And I was just sitting there. And I'm almost falling asleep. And once again, somebody comes in. You know, they come in. And it's a custodian. It's a maintenance lady. She walks in. And I'm sorry to say this, but she freaked me out.
Yeah.
Because she was cross-eyed, but she was really, really cross-eyed. And mind you, I'm here falling asleep, and when I opened my eyes, I looked at her in her face, and I freaked out.
Yeah.
And I got startled, you know, and so she looks at Liam, she looks at me, she keeps on doing her stuff, and she looks at me and she says, "You don't have to worry. God is in control. He's going to be a prophet to the nations." And I said, amen. At the same time, I'm still freaked out. Amen. Like, but God used that lady at that moment when I had just was tired and giving up to remind me that little baby boy, even though he might be struggling today, tomorrow, he's going to be rejoicing and he's going to be serving me and he's going to be a prophet to the nations.
Yeah.
And he is. He is. He's only 3 years old.
Well, you guys see him. He's running around all the time.
but that little boy is anointed.
Yes.
He is anointed. And praise Jesus that he has never had to return ever again.
Yeah. Amen.
They told us, well, possibly he might have to, you know, when he grows up. No. Jesus. Jesus. So we were, what day was it that we were heading home?
We were supposed to be heading home day 11. And then something happened. I really can't remember, and they tell us it's not going to be possible. I was super excited because I had gotten already to a place with God where I was like, okay, God, I have a little faith, but then my wind was knocked from under me again when they said, no, he has to stay. So now they're telling us 14 days would be the total amount of time he would have to be there. And I remember I picked up my phone and I opened my Bible app. God gives me this verse, and I read it there in the hospital next to Liam, and it says in Matthew 17:20, he replied, "Because you have so little faith." In that moment, I really did have little faith. I was like, why again, God? And he reminded me, truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And it is a verse I've probably read a million times, but it never hit home till that very moment. And I said, God, okay, what do you want me to learn from this? Some faith? I'm going to choose faith today. And on day 14, they, even though I had been out of the hospital, they sat me in my wheelchair. I was able to carry my baby boy and roll out of that hospital with the dream I had envisioned in my mind, which was taking him home. And I was holding my blessing, and all I could do was cry and say, thank you, God, because you brought us through this. Thank you, God, because you are faithful. Thank you, God, because you gave us the faith and perseverance to push on. And thank you, God, because he is your son, and he will serve you all the days of his life.
Amen. So we got home, right? We were excited. Liam is finally home, right? We don't have to stay in the NICU anymore. I can sleep in my bed also, right? Our little baby boy is finally home. He could enjoy everything we had prepared for him, right? So, but then it sinks in. Oh, my God, I'm a dad. Oh, my God, children are expensive. Liam drank the most expensive formula, hypoallergenic, I don't know what, super expensive, $40 a little tub. And I'm like, how are we going to do this?
And he would go through that.
He's
like
a fat boy.
Days.
He drinks milk like constantly. And I have to, how am I going to pay for this? But once again, God shows up.
I was on maternity leave, so we were on one salary. Yeah.
One salary, but God showed up and God provided, and we have never lacked anything.
Amen.
Because God has been faithful. So we are excited, right? Easter morning comes around. You know, we're excited. It's our first Easter with Liam. And we had prepared this little Easter egg hunt, yes. Even though Liam was only a couple months old.
Four, yeah.
4 months old, right? Mind you, what is he going to do? Like, look at the egg and fall? It's not going to do anything. And we got excited, right? My wife gets excited. She had bought him some bunny ears. And she's like, oh, my God, it's Easter morning. Easter morning. We got to take pictures. So she rushes down the stairs. And while she's rushing down the stairs, she falls.
I fall. I slip.
She slips, falls, fractures. A fracture.
Vertebrae,
right?
T4.
We still have the Easter egg hunt, but she's in a lot of pain, right? So the following day, the pain is unbearable.
We go to the urgent care, and that's where we find out my T4 in my back is fractured. And again, here we go.
Go God, back to the hospital.
God, why? Why God, is this happening again? Why?
We go to the hospital. They tell her, she sees a specialist. They tell her, oh, you have to wear a brace.
Yes.
For 6 weeks. Or no, actually 2 months.
2 months.
2 months. And you can't carry your son.
You can't carry anything. Yeah.
You can't carry anything heavy and you can't do anything for your son. So now the burden in the house is.
Falls on you.
Not that I have to now do things only for our son, but the fact that now. My wife is going through depression once again. She had gone through postpartum depression. She starts being depressed again because of the fact that new mom, we suffered already in the hospital, excited to have our son, and boom, once again, now this struggle. You know, a lot of people say, I never get a break. Yeah. I never get a big break. I don't think we ever said that. I don't think we ever said why this happened again. I remember that day that we found out that you have fractured, we said, we're going to continue praising Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
This is what the enemy wants. He wants us to fall in depression. And even though we go through the motions, and even though we have feelings, and even though we are struggling and suffering, we said, we're going to praise Jesus. And we're going to praise Amen. Him, and we're going to make sacrificial worship. Because you know what sacrificial worship is? When you praise God, even though you don't want to praise Him.
Amen.
When you pray, even though you don't want to pray, or you feel like you can't pray.
Yeah.
And I remember that through that time, right, one of the things that I forgot about this, but I just remember one of the things that I was worried about was, well, now she has to take leave from work, right? And she's going to, once again, finances are going to be affected. But God still provided during that time. God still provided. Why do we share our story? So that you could know that for God, nothing is impossible.
Amen.
Our story might be different than your story, but similar in the sense that we needed to learn to trust Jesus.
Yes.
We needed to trust God. We needed to rely on Him, not only in our health, in our family, in our finances, in our relationships. Because let me tell you something. You as parents, you that are parents, you understand this. When you have children, it takes a toll on your relationship. If you're not strong in the Lord, it will take a toll because you will start fighting with one another. You'll start breaking each other's hearts with words. And you have to be careful, right? But for those of you that don't have children, the same thing. When you're going through a hard time and you are in a relationship, many times we think, well, they don't understand. They don't know what I'm going through. They don't understand my feelings, especially women. Women say that a lot. And what they don't understand is that men probably do not understand exactly what you're facing, but that burden falls on them too, because if they truly love you, that burden falls on them too.
Yeah.
So we had to hold on to God. We needed to trust God.
Yeah.
And God brought us out.
Yeah.
Her back is fine now. Liam is running around. She could carry him, praise the Lord. No, you know,
he's too big to carry.
Everything changed. But, you know, life kept on. It's been great. God has been always there for us. We've had our ups and downs like anybody else, but we have continued to move forward.
Yes.
The last thing we want to share with you guys is that when Ignite Church was presented to us, right, it was a great joy. It was a great joy, but a great fear.
Yeah.
So we went from the why
to the how.
To the how.
Yeah.
Why, God, didn't you do this? Why did you allow this? To now the how, because now we're presented the opportunity to be pastors of a brand new church,
yeah,
which we didn't go to seminary. We don't know what it is to be a pastor, right? And God is now presenting us this opportunity, and God will provide. Wherever there's a God,
yes,
dream, God will provide. God, yes, surrounded us with a great team. Would you give it up for our servant leaders? Come on, put your hands together. None of this will be possible today if it weren't for our servant leaders.
Amen.
We thank our servant leaders, right? And let me tell you something. God always provides and God always shows up when we believe in the God dream. When we believe it. When we put ourselves out there. And so God shows up, and God had placed the dream already in my wife's heart.
Yes.
And, you know, in our relationship, I knew that God wanted me to be a pastor, but I didn't want to be a pastor. I'll be an evangelist. I'll preach in stadiums and conferences, but I don't want to be a pastor. That's too much work. I don't know. Thank you, Jesus. I was already a youth pastor. That was already a lot of work. I don't want that. You know, I want the easy way. I want that, oh, you want to come and speak at my church? Here, come. We'll invite you. You know, I wanted that route,
yeah,
right? But God had a different plan. And mind you, our son was just a couple months old.
Six months.
When we decided to start doing Ignite Church.
Yeah.
It started as a Bible study, right, that went from Monday where you're running around trying to finish job, clean up, feed your children, you know, feed Liam, get him to bed early,
yeah,
so people could come over. We started growing, and so we started feeling growing pains, so we created socials, right, to kind of like help people that probably were watching online to join us. We moved it from Monday
to Sunday.
Right? And we used to say Sunday is the new Monday, right?
Yeah.
And we moved it because it used to be just a Bible study. So now we have to turn our whole entire kitchen to a production, right? All that you see here, you know, kind of was there in our kitchen countertop. Less stuff, but it was like, boom, on top of our countertop with cameras. Our neighbors probably thought that we were famous people. I don't know what they, or drug smugglers, because people will come in and out of our house. And they're like, but why do we share this? Because during that time, we went from the why to the how. Like, how are you going to do this? You know how you question God? God, why did you allow this? Why are you allowing this? And then when he puts something in your heart to do, the next thing is, how are you going to do it? How is this possible? God is okay with the questions. I think that God is okay with the questions. As long as you have an open heart to hear his response.
Amen. Yeah.
And so God, look around, church. Mm-hmm. If you're online, you can't really see, right? But if you've ever been to Ignite Church, you know that we transform this cafeteria into a sanctuary every Sunday morning. Look around. We started our church with $0.
Zero.
I'm not super rich. We're not super rich. No one we know in our family is super rich. We started with $0. But when you obey God, mm-hmm, the how becomes this response. Don't worry. I'll make it happen.
Yeah. Amen.
All you have to do is trust me.
And believe you.
And believe. And God provided. God provided to this day. Ignite Church is a zero debt church. Zero debt. And we have been able to bless countless lives. And when I say we, I'm not talking about my wife and I. I'm talking about you. Anyone that finds Ignite as your home. Anyone who gives their time, their money, you know, their efforts to serve in God's kingdom here at our ministry. That's we. We have been able to bless countless kids' lives in Dominican Republic. We've been able to provide food for people. We've been able to bless people here in our city. We have probably blessed people through this transmission online that we would never even meet, or you might never meet.
Yeah.
But because we believed that God called us to this and we obeyed, God said, I'll take care of the how. So we'll leave you with this last thought. Our next question is, so what's next, God? What's next? God didn't call us to stay stuck in former glories. We all love yesterday's glory. Oh, recuérdate cuando cantamos el himno ese. Or, you know, we love former glories. Recuérdate cuando venía el profeta. We all love former glories. And there's nothing wrong with former glories as long as it never keeps you stuck in yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday may have seemed good when everything was together, when everything was perfect, when your family was working together, when your health was okay. But don't stay stuck on yesterday. There's a purpose with today. There's a purpose with your pain. God uses your pain for a platform. And how we allow him to use our pain will determine how what he can possibly do with it. For our God, nothing is impossible. And I want you to stand to your feet with me if you don't mind. I know we're over time, and I thank you for still being with us, whether in person or online. But we know that God uses pain. Some people question pain. And yes, pain, the word says it all. It's pain. We don't want it. Nobody wants me. I've been reading this book lately called Dangerous Prayers by Craig Rochelle. Great book. I recommend it if you want to be encouraged. And one of the things that this author says is, when David prayed, "O Lord, search my heart, test my anxious thoughts, and lead me in the way of everlasting," he did a dangerous prayer. Because when he's saying, test my thoughts, he's basically saying, God, break me. Break me. No one likes to be broken. And probably you are broken today. Let me remind you that in your brokenness, God is creating something new. He is birthing something amazing. You're not alone. Like the countless nights that I was in the hospital and I wanted to talk to my dad, but I could talk to him, but he couldn't talk back. God was there with me. Like the nights that we were in our NICU of the little boy that we felt powerless and helpless because we couldn't do anything. That one night they told us, oh, his IV fell, and since he's a chunky boy, we can't find a vein, we're gonna have to put a vein, an IV on his head. And we freaked out because we're like, well, what? No, we don't. How about if you hit something wrong in the head? And you know, and we prayed, and we would hear when they're trying to get the IV on the little arms and in the little legs, and we could hear Liam crying and screaming. It was loud shouts. And we would just pray, God, please do a miracle. And they came to us and they told us, look, today we couldn't find it, but tomorrow, right now we couldn't find it, but tonight we have to try again. And if we can't find it in the arms, we can't do it, we're going to have to put it in the head. And we remember that we prayed. And that night I was so tired, I fell asleep. I fell asleep in the hospital room where he was. And they came at night. They took him, right, to do it again. And I didn't know him. When I woke up, he was back and his IV was on his little arm, right? And I was just, you know, so thankful, because even when we are tired, even when we're exhausted, even when we're about to just throw the towel and say, I can't do it anymore, God says, I am with you. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil because I am with you. That is the reminder that we need to remind ourselves today. One of the verses that God gave me was in Psalms, when the psalmist is praying, why are you downcast, O my spirit? Why are you burdened? Why are you disquieted within? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. I shall yet praise him. Here the psalmist, the great one that wrote all the psalms, is going through a rough time, and he finds his spirit down because he's tired. Let's be real. We're humans. We get tired. And he was tired. Probably, I don't know, Saul was kept on persecuting him, and he's running for his life because he didn't do anything wrong. And he looks within. He says, I know I'm tired, but I got to get myself back up. I got to put my trust in God. And that's what he said, I will yet praise him. I want to pray for you today. We want to pray for you today. Whether you are here or online, you have a life story. God has given you a life, and there's a story that he is writing in your life. Not all the chapters are happy chapters. But let me remind you the end. The end is victory in Christ Jesus. Let me just remind you one more time. The end is victory in Christ Jesus. And what God, what you think that is impossible that he could use today, you're like, well, for what? How is it possible? Don't worry how he's going to use it. Just trust that he will use it. That it's not the end. That he is still working a miracle. Like the song says, even when I don't see it, even when I don't feel it, you are working, for that is who you are. Let's pray this morning. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, because today we get to share our story, and sometimes we laugh, we look back, and we say, oh my God. But while we're going through it, we're not laughing. We're actually crying. We're suffering. We're in pain. But I believe, God, that you could use our pain for purpose. You could use our pain for a platform. And I just pray, Lord, that in Jesus' name, whatever pain we are facing today, God, whether it be financially, physically, relationally, emotionally, whatever it is spiritually, God, use it for the good. Use it to glorify you. And help us wait and trust in you. Help us learn to trust you, Jesus. When we're about to give up, Lord, send that help. Like you send us multiple times individuals we didn't even know just to breathe life in us, Lord. Send help, God. Send your help, Holy Spirit. For we need you, God. Lord, we thank you today, Lord. Because we know that this chapter that we are struggling and facing today, Lord, one day will end. And we will rejoice and we will look back and say, ha, God was in the works this whole entire time. But Lord, until then, help us remain in faith. Give us the hope, the strength, the grace that we need, Jesus. Because we can't do it by ourselves, God. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name.
At Ignite, we count it a blessing to engage each week with supporters just like you. If you were blessed by today's word, subscribe to our podcast and share it with someone you know. We believe in spreading the message of Jesus like a wildfire. Thank you for your support, and be sure to check us out on any of our social media platforms at Church Ignite. Until next time, be blessed, and remember the best is yet to come.